Chapter 5. After we'd agreed on the decision to head to the southern continent, our meeting concluded, and we all got up to head our separate ways. There was still much to work out and discuss, but it wasn't going to be doable unless we got at least a little sleep. The Guardians and I had fought an intense battle against the Shadow Boars, and we weren't going to get too far into another one without some rest.
"Good luck to you, Mr. Griff," Headmaster Sleet said just before I left his office. "Please, promise me you'll be safe. Who knows what kind of perils will lurk in the southern continent, particularly in Luritamba's jungle."
"I'll come back in one piece," I promised the Storm Mage. "Besides, with Kristen at my side, I doubt anyone is going to want to mess with me."
"The only one I truly fear is the demon," Sleet replied. "The different countries in the southern continent don't have the privilege of enclaves, so there won't be much to protect you in terms of walls and fortresses."
"Lisi City is well guarded, and so is Eerie Island," I assured him. "Even so, I'll be sure to take every last precaution. I swear to it."
"Good."
The headmaster nodded, and then he looked to Kristen.
"You too, Miss Porter. Please, be well."
"I will, Meringer,"
my aunt promised, and her cheeks flushed a pretty shade of pink. The two of them shared a look with one another that made my skin feel a little too warm, so I decided that now would be a good of time as any to head out.
"I should, catch up to the others."
I cleared my throat and glanced down the winding staircase. My friends had already begun their descent, and I wanted to follow suit and give the older mages a moment alone. The relationship between my aunt and the headmaster was still a little strange to me, but they deserved a heartfelt goodbye just as much as anyone else would, and I wasn't about to deny them that moment. So after giving them a nod, I headed down the spiral staircase and allowed my mind to wander. There was so much to prepare both mentally and physically, and while I was a little overwhelmed, I needed to focus on the more important points. I also appreciated my friend's support when it came to foreign aid, and Almasi's suggestion to build our allies a structure in order to keep them safe from the air was brilliant. My fellow mages were truly caring when it came to the people of our realm, and I was grateful to be surrounded by such a caring team. I was pulled out of my introspection by the sound of my name, and I paused on the stairs to figure out which direction it was coming from. My friends were out of sight, so I turned around only to see my aunt coming up on me.
"Griff, wait up,"
Kristen called out as she descended. Her cheeks were even brighter than they'd been when I'd left, and her caramel-colored hair was slightly tousled, but I chose to ignore the signs of her farewell with the headmaster. I dutifully waited, and once she joined me on the stairs, we continued down in silence. I wasn't sure how to breach the quietness, but I could feel the weirdness in the air.
"So, I haven't really had a chance to check in with you, but how are you doing with all of this?"
I asked my aunt in a small voice.
"I'm about as well as one could be in these circumstances," Kristen shrugged. "I won't lie and say I'm perfectly well, but I won't let my fear cloud the reality of our duty."
"You don't have to put on a face," I reminded her gently. "It's just us here, and I'm certainly not going to judge you for feeling a little off."
"Feeling off is putting it lightly," the Guardian scoffed, and then she took a small breath. "This situation is just so intense, and I'm used to being able to solve problems easily. This is anything but easy, and it's making my brain feel restless, like I'm not doing enough. I know, it sounds ridiculous."
"It's perfectly understandable," I assured her. "But hopefully our journey to the southern continent will help ease your mind."
"Perhaps," Kristen said, and then she glanced over her shoulder. "Now, enough doom and gloom. Let's go and find your friends. I'm sure they're wondering where we wandered off to."
"Good idea," I said, and without another word, my aunt and I continued down the stairs. Once we reached the bottom of the tower, we walked at a hastened pace in order to catch up to the other Guardians. Luckily, my friends and family didn't get too far, and they lingered over by a window.
"There you are,"
Nia announced as we crossed over to the group.
Is everything all right?
Yeah, we just needed a moment, I replied, and I gave my ashen-haired wife a smile. What about the rest of you? Is everyone else all right?
Mostly,
Syra answered for the group, and then she cracked her knuckles and shook out her wrists.
I could use a good massage and a big old Milo snuggle, but other than that, I'm good.
Well, I'll bring us a step closer to both, I offered as I closed my eyes. Then I reached into my mind, unlocked the wards in my consciousness, and summoned Syra forth. My aunt stiffened up in surprise as the Arcan manifested in the hall, but when the Guardian realized I was watching, she relaxed her posture. However, her hazel eyes remained fixed on the dark-winged goddess. Syra seemed wholly unbothered by the look, and simply chose to ignore Kristen as she smiled at the rest of us.
Is everyone going to the same place?
She wondered with a curious tilt of her head, and her raven-black hair sexily spilled over her shoulders with the gesture. That's a good question, I admitted, and my eyes fell to my friends. We have more than enough room back at the mansion. I think it would be best if we all stuck together, at least for tonight. You're more than welcome to stay longer, of course.
Wait, does that mean we're having a sleepover?
Layla cheered, and the rest of the group uttered noises of amusement at the petite mage's enthusiasm.
If only there was a way to bottle Layla's energy, Oren joked. We could use it to power the entire realm.
That's no kidding,
Varleth agreed with a metalogue.
I mean, Matty's already back at your place, Brayden considered. All I'd be missing is a change of clothes.
We have things laying around the house,
Nia said as she waved her hand dismissively.
When we moved in, I kept the fact that we'd all be going on missions in mind, and I figured it was only a matter of time before one of our friends stayed with us. So I made sure to stock up on clothing and other toiletries. We have more than enough to go around.
You're so much more prepared than the rest of us, Kinnefic,
Gawain chuckled, and then his eyes darted over to me.
Sorry, is it Porter now?
We're still working out the logistics of everyone's surnames, I answered for the Elementalist, and Nia looked grateful for my intervention. It's a little difficult with so many people in the same house.
I would imagine,
Varleth noted, and Layla's arm swung out to playfully whack the surly banisher.
Hush it, Proust,
the petite mage giggled as she avoided Varleth's counterattack.
You're just jealous you don't have a house full of cute girls.
Proust is jealous he doesn't have a girl,
Gawain snorted.
He does too,
Oren spoke up as he wrapped his muscular arms around Varleth's shoulders.
What was her name? Danielle? Daya?
Dressa,
the banisher murmured, and his dark brown eyes flashed with an emotion I couldn't place.
We haven't spoken in eons, though, so I doubt she even remembers my name. We never reconnected after my time in the southern continent, and it's not as if we'd had a break since then. Besides, with the current state of the world, I don't even know if she...
The gypsy didn't finish the sentence, but he didn't have to. I wasn't sure what to say to put his mind at ease. What was there to say? I was mostly an optimistic person, but I'd become a bit of a realist as of late. There was a strong chance Dressa wasn't in the best of circumstances, but I wasn't about to say that to Varleth. The group fell into silence, and we all glanced at each other in uncertainty. Oren dropped his arm from the banisher to give him some space, and as soon as he stepped away, Freya approached Varleth and placed a hand on his shoulder.
I know it is hard to remember, but you must have hope,
the Hawk Princess said in a gentle voice.
The demon in the sky is terrible, and the land is not as it was. But do not give up on the idea that your beloved is safe. If you still love her as I think you do, you must remain strong for her. Once all is over, you will find your way back to one another. I'm certain of it.
Varleth gulped, and I was surprised to see his eyes glisten with wetness. I was even more surprised when Freya wrapped her arms around our friend and gave him a comforting embrace. Neither Freya or Varleth were known for being so outwardly affectionate, so it was kind of strange to see the pair so vulnerable. But maybe that's why it worked. My blonde wife was right. Hope was the only thing that was going to guide us to victory. And without it, we weren't going to make it through this apocalypse. We had to cling to every last shred of faith that there was a light on the other side of this war, even if it seemed foolish or unrealistic.
Thank you, Varlith murmured once the pair ended their hug. I appreciate your kindness.
You're welcome,
Freya smiled at our friend.
Now, I think we've kept Sarah long enough. Shall we head home? I think Aaron could use relief, and everyone could use a hot meal.
Varlith nodded, and then the pair turned to face us. I brightened my own expression, and the others followed suit. We're in this together, I reminded my friends. Now, let's head back to the mansion. I think showers, a nice meal, and some clean clothes are just what the doctor ordered.
As this group's self-designated doctor, I'd have to agree,
Arwen chimed in, and the rest of us laughed along with the professor. Even Sarah wore a smirk, but she forced it down when we stepped closer to her. The dark-winged Arkin held her hand aloft, and with a snap of her long fingers, she opened up a portal large enough for at least three people to walk in at once. Without further conversation, my friends walked through the portal. I lingered toward the back of the group, and once only Sarah and I remained in the hallway, I drew the beautiful goddess to me.
What is it, Griff?
Sarah wondered, but a smile danced across her perfect lips.
Are you all right?
I just wanted to say thank you for everything you've done for us, I whispered in her ear, and then I kissed the soft, tender skin of her neck. The Arkin quivered under my touch and pressed her lithe, lean body so tight against me that it was hard to tell where I ended and she began. As the portal shimmered beyond us, I kissed up her slender neck until I reached her jawbone, and then I continued up until I reached her full lips. I pressed mine against her, gently at first, but when she ran her sharp nails down my spine, I increased the pressure. Sarah moaned in my mouth as I ran my hands down the curves of her waist, and I admired the way her hips felt beneath my fingers.
Should I close the portal?
Sarah asked when we stopped for a breath, and her yellow eyes were so heavy-lidded with lust, I couldn't even think straight. Her dilated pupils and quivering body were sending me over the edge, and my need for the Arkin was only growing worse as her nails dragged along my back. Oh, Maker Sarah, you're killing me, I sighed. You're so... I didn't get to finish the thought, because Sarah pressed her lips against me once more, and I soon lost myself in the pleasure that was her kiss. We continued on like this for a while, and then parted just long enough for Sarah to dismiss the portal. Once the shimmering doorway was closed off and the air around us was normal again, the Arkin faced me with a sensual expression.
Is there somewhere quiet we can go?
She requested in a honeyed voice.
Somewhere private where we won't be seen.
I thought you didn't mind attention, I smirked. But then I considered the possible settings for our tryst. You know, there's a stairwell not far from here that gets little attention.
Take me there,
Sarah insisted, and I reached down and grabbed her hand. The dark-winged goddess and I moved down the empty hall, and I couldn't help but laugh as I glanced behind me to make sure we weren't being watched. Part of me felt sort of bad for leaving the others in the mansion, but I wasn't about to deny Sarah after everything she'd done for us, so I led the exquisite goddess to the tucked-away stairwell. This area of the academy wasn't very well visited, and I was surprised I'd never thought to come in here before. Unlike the others in the school, this stairwell was enclosed, which would afford us a little more privacy. The walls and floors were made of some gray stone, and while there were a few lights inside, it was dim enough in here to be somewhat exciting. Thanks to the closed door, the stairwell was chillier than the corridors, but Sarah and I were about to get quite warm. As Sarah peered around, I swept her into my arms and carried her up onto the landing. Then I carefully set her down a few steps higher and flashed her a wolfish grin. How's this for privacy? I whispered as I got down on my knees and spread the goddess's legs apart so I could have better access. To my delight, Sarah was already glistening with wetness, and my mouth began to water as I admired her. I gripped her thighs with my hands and then leaned in, just far enough for the Arkan to feel my breath against her warm skin.
Ugh, oh, Griff.
She sighed, and I squeezed her legs firmly as I leaned in even further. My lips parted, and I slowly ran my tongue along her velvet folds. Sarah's legs stiffened as I sampled her sweet juices, and when I began to circle around her clit with enthusiasm, the goddess started to quiver. The more the Arkan writhed, the more turned on I grew, and my lower half tightened with lust as I devoured Sarah with feverish need. After I went clockwise for a little while, I switched direction, and it was then the mother of my child truly came alive. Her legs trapped me in their hold, and I admired the effect my tongue seemed to have on her. Her skin was growing hotter and wetter by the second, and the more she began to buck and moan, the closer I knew she was to losing herself in the euphoria of her pleasure.
Don't stop,
she begged me, and I ran my hands further up her thighs and gripped her even tighter. A voice in the back of my head worried someone was going to walk in on the goddess and me in this compromising position, but I didn't care. There was something genuinely thrilling about pleasuring my lover in a place where we might get caught, and it only made me more eager to get Sarah off. A human woman might have found our locale uncomfortable, but that was one of the great things about making love to a goddess. Sarah was unabashed. I came up for air for a moment and was delighted to see Sarah's spine had arced, and her head hung all the way back.
"Shall I continue?"
I murmured, and when Sarah moaned in response, I returned to her glistening pearl. I resumed circling, and I brought one hand down from her thigh and let it hover near her entrance. As Sarah mewled, I slowly inserted one of my fingers inside of her, and the walls of her entrance gripped onto me for dear life as I penetrated her.
Fuck!
She whined, and her entire body trembled with the words. I continued to experiment, and once I figured out what she enjoyed the most, I fell into a rhythm and moved my fingers in and out of her while I licked and sucked at the epicenter of her pleasure. Soon Sarah's breaths intensified, and her back arched even further as her long legs began to quake around me.
Oh, oh, oh!
She moaned as she reached her climax.
Oh, Griff!
The Arkan exploded around me, and soon, all I was aware of was the delicious taste of her sweet juices. She tasted like honey, berries, and all that was wonderful. And when I raised my face from her swollen lips, I wiped the residue from my lower lip. You're amazing, I whispered as I ran my fingertips along the soft skin of her inner thighs. You know, everything about you is just so beautiful, Sarah. I love watching you lose yourself like that.
Oh, Griff,
Sarah sighed as her chest heaved.
That felt incredible.
The dark winged goddess gave me a contented smile, and I admired the way her raven hair flared around her on the stairs. I'm glad you enjoyed it, I said. I just wanted to thank you for all you've done for us.
Consider me thanked,
Sarah chuckled, and her hands ran down her torso until she reached her abdomen. There was the tiniest curve to her belly that reminded me our child was growing strong within her, and I couldn't believe the goddess was already showing. The thought was enough to make me want her again.
Maker, you're irresistible, I murmured, and I gently kissed her knee before I stood up.
My head spun a bit from the lack of air, but I wasn't too upset about it. It took Sarah a minute to come down from her climax, but once her breathing settled, her yellow eyes took on a predatory gaze that enticed me further.
I think it's my turn to show my gratitude,
she said as she sat up, and she trailed down my body until she reached my lower half. At this point, it was impossible to hide my need from the goddess, and I felt a bout of desire swell further when she licked her lips. She wanted me as much as I wanted her, and nothing was sexier than mutual desire. I pulled the goddess back up into my arms, and when she wrapped her legs around my torso, I brought my hands down to support her ass. I was pleased to feel her lingering wetness beneath my touch, and I carried her over to the wall of the stairwell. I propped her back against the cool stone, and Sarah's grip around my neck tightened. Once I was certain she was secure, I reached down, undid the buckle of my belt, and then unzipped my trousers. My stiff member practically let itself out, and my body trembled with the need. I pressed the tip of my rock-hard cock against the Arkin's slit, and once I got her nod of approval, I slid in a little further. Sarah was still dripping wet from our earlier encounter, and it made it even easier to glide inside of her.
Maker, you're so tight, I grunted as the walls of the Arkin's incredibly tight pussy enveloped me like a fist.
Fuck, you feel amazing, Sarah.
Oh, Griff, she sighed as I pulled out. Fill me with your firm cock. I need you so badly.
I'm all yours, I murmured, and I thrust inside of her again, and fell into a rhythm of slow, deep strokes. Sarah's breathing grew heavier, and she ran her fingers through my hair.
I want you to fuck me harder, Griff,
she begged me as her nails grazed my scalp. I wasn't one to turn down a request from such a gorgeous woman, so I hastened my pace until I was practically slamming into her. The goddess liked it a little rough, and I admired the way her full breasts heaved against me with every thrust.
Oh, fuck!
I groaned as I pushed further and grazed the walls of her cervix. Sarah was so wet and so warm, and I knew I was nearing my euphoria. My blood ran hot through my body, and I could practically feel my heartbeat in my ears as I continued to thrust inside the goddess. Sarah leaned over and began to kiss my neck, and the feeling of her breath against my sweat-slicked skin felt amazing.
You taste so good, master.
Oh, fuck,
I gasped in surprise when the Arkin gently bit down. She was definitely more aggressive than usual, and I wasn't sure if it was just the pregnancy hormones or pure need, but I wasn't complaining. I squeezed her ass and admired the way it made her moan.
I'm going to come,
she stammered as her eyes rolled to the back of her head, and the walls of her pussy tightened even further as she neared her climax. The forceful way she held me within her was too much to bear, and I couldn't hold on any longer. I gave in to my pleasure, and a groan escaped my lips as I erupted. Streams of my hot seed poured out of me and filled the goddess until she was full to bursting. Sarah writhed in ecstasy, and as my head spun from my climax, all of my problems melted away. Demons, the moon, monsters, none of it mattered. All that I needed was Sarah and the amazing way she made me feel. We clung to each other just as we had in the hallway, and as our chests heaved in tandem while we fought to catch our breaths, Sarah rested her cheek against my shoulder.
That was even better the second time, Sarah whispered in my ear. I love it when you take me against the wall. It's so much more fun than a bed.
I'm glad you had fun, I chuckled, and I'll have to keep that in mind. I think we could get a little more adventurous next time.
I like the sound of that,
the dark-winged goddess agreed. Once Sarah and I calmed ourselves, I eased out of her, carefully lowered the Arkin to the ground, and pulled my pants back up over my hips.
I'm sure your friends are wondering where you are,
Sarah giggled as I buckled my belt.
Sorry to have kept you away for so long.
Don't you dare apologize, I replied, and then I ran a hand through my sweat-slicked hair. That was both amazing and incredibly necessary. I'll just have to come up with some kind of excuse so they don't ask questions.
Ooh, how scandalous,
Sarah purred.
I didn't realize you'd become such a scamp, Griff.
It's all for you, my love, I chuckled, and then I drew her back over to me and planted one last kiss on her lips. When we parted a minute later, Sarah stretched out, turned in the other direction, and waved her hand in the air. A portal appeared in front of us, and I glanced up at the stairwell with an amused grin. We'd gone this long without getting caught, so the gesture felt unnecessary, but I didn't want anyone freaking out about the whole random portal in the middle of the landing.
Are you ready to return to real life?
The goddess inquired. Let's go, I decided, and after a short breath, and one last readjustment of my clothes, I stepped through the portal. I wasn't ready to return quite yet, but there was no other option. Too many people were waiting on me, and I didn't want to stall any longer. Moments later, I emerged into the formal sitting room just off the foyer of the mansion, and when Sarah appeared, I gave her a confused look. Why are we in the sitting room? I wondered.
I wanted to give you a moment before your friends and women say anything,
the Arcan explained as she dispelled the portal.
I always teleport you into the entryway, so I figured it would be better to do it in a different place.
I mean, they're going to know I was gone, I chuckled. But thank you for the consideration.
I'll give you some privacy,
Sarah proposed.
You can recall me to my mark.
I'll see you soon, I promised her. And after we shared one more kiss, I concentrated on returning the Arcan to my head. The goddess dissolved into essence, and a ripple ran down my spine as she returned to her mark on my back. Once she was securely stored away, I straightened out my clothing. I could hear my friends and family not too far beyond me, but I wasn't quite ready to answer questions. However, any opportunity I had of sneaking away without question was thrown out the moment Kristen stepped into the sitting room with an alarmed look on her face.
Griff?
She asked with a raised eyebrow, and her hazel eyes trailed over me with a scrutinous gaze.
I've been worried about you. Why didn't you come through the portal with us? Is everything all right?
I'm perfectly fine, I assured my aunt as I fought against the lump in my throat.
So where were you?
She pressed. I prayed to the Maker that every last one of my buttons was closed, and my lips didn't look nearly as swollen as they felt. Sarah and I hadn't taken too long, but I didn't need my aunt to put two and two together. While she was coming around to the idea of the Arcans being our allies, I wasn't ready to throw my relationship with Sarah into the mix. Kristen would go crazy if she knew how intimate the Dark Winged Goddess and I were, and she'd plunge right into supernova territory if she learned Sarah was pregnant with our child. I just wanted to study the halls one last time and make sure all traces of our fight with the Shadow Boars were gone, I said simply, and I realized a yawn that was half exaggerated, half real. If I could feign my likely frazzled appearance on exhaustion and devotion to battle, perhaps Kristen would buy it. My aunt's eyebrows raised, and for a moment, I swore she was going to call my bluff. But her face relaxed.
Of course, she said, and she gave me a thin-lipped smile of understanding. I'm sure the headmaster appreciates that, as will the students. The last thing anyone needs right now is to panic.
Right, I nodded, and then I rubbed the back of my neck.
Now, how about you go and get yourself cleaned up?
Kristen suggested.
I think Freya and Orin were working on throwing a meal together. So once you're done, come and join us in the kitchen.
You're going to need your strength for the morning. Is it still technically morning if the sun ceases to rise? I mused.
Don't get too philosophical on me, Griff,
my aunt snorted, and she rolled her eyes playfully.
I'm definitely not awake enough to have that kind of conversation. Now, run along, get yourself cleaned up, and drink some water, will you?
Maker, you really are my aunt. I chuckled, and after I gave her a small salute, I turned on my heels and headed upstairs. I waited until I was near the bathroom, and then I let out a sigh of relief. Thank the Maker. She hadn't put any of it together, and Sarah and I still had a little more time to keep our news to ourselves. I just had to ensure the Arcan didn't say anything when Kristen traveled with me to the southern continent. I managed to put those thoughts off for a little while. And after I showered, dressed, and ran a comb through my hair, I headed back downstairs as instructed. My scalp felt a little raw from all of the scrubbing, but I'd wanted to be sure any traces of the noxious air were erased from my skin, so the slight irritation was absolutely worth it. When I breached the door to the kitchen, I was greeted with a wholesome sight. My friends, family, and even a couple of my children were seated around our kitchen table. And in front of them sat plates laden with delicious-smelling breakfast food. It was a scene right out of Life Before the Demon, and a smile appeared on my lips as I peered around. Freya met my eyes first, and the Hawk Princess offered me a smile so dazzling, I nearly melted on the spot.
"Hello, my husband,"
she greeted me, and then she gestured at the table.
"We got out a plate for you. It was decided that even though it would normally be in the middle of the night, the hours on the clock are meaningless, which means breakfast for dinner,"
Layla exclaimed through a mouthful of crispy bacon. The petite summoner looked half-crazed, but incredibly happy at the same time, and I burst into the kind of laughter that made my stomach ache. "You look like a walrus," I chuckled as I wiped a tear from my eye.
"But am I a cute walrus?"
she asked as she continued to chew with her mouth open. "Obviously," I said, and I crossed over to the table.
"Aren't you supposed to be mature and wise now that you're a mother?"
Gawain asked with a raised eyebrow.
"Is that the kind of example you want to set for Daphne? I could only be so lucky if my genius rubs off on my perfect daughter."
Layla tossed her auburn-haired hair dramatically behind her, and then she tucked right back into her food.
"Is everything all right, Griff?"
Syra wondered as her chocolate-brown eyes flickered over to me. My curly-haired wife held a very content-looking Milo in her arms, and our son was uttering a long stream of nonsensical babble as he kicked his little feet lightly. "Better now that I'm here," I said, and I crossed over to her and our child. Milo's eyes, the same shade as her mother's, lit up when he saw me, and his pudgy arm reached out to touch me. I ran my hand through his curly hair, and when he let out a high-pitched giggle, I nearly melted. Kristen walked into the room a few minutes after me, gave me a nod of approval, and took a seat next to Nia and Arwen. I did a head count, and as I glanced around, I realized someone was missing. Finally, I noticed Vala was hanging back from the group. The Hawkshifter was clad in an oversized, long-sleeved shirt and a pair of pajama pants, and she tugged at the hem of her top, absently, as she stared at the window with a glazed look in her emerald eyes. To my surprise, there was another guest amongst us, and I broke into a huge smile when I saw him beside her. "Hey, Mur!" I greeted the moose shapeshifter in his native language as I crossed over to the pair. "I didn't even realize you were here."
"Hello, Griff,"
Mur smiled.
"I'm sorry for coming by unannounced. With everything else happening, and the appearance of the beast's tentacles in the sky, I wanted to come by and make sure Vala was okay."
The moose boy glanced over at Freya's sister and ran a hand through his curly dark hair. Though they were from rival clans, the shapeshifters had bonded almost instantly upon meeting, and they'd formed a close relationship with one another. "I'm glad to see you, and even happier that you're all right," I assured him. "So are we," Orin called out, and Mur's smile turned into a grin. The moose shapeshifter looked up to the metalogue in every possible way, so I knew the praise meant a lot to him.
"Thank you,"
Mur muttered. "Everyone else is going to be staying here tonight, and you're more than welcome to join us as well," I offered. "I'd rather you be around the group than go back to the academy on your own."
"Miss Arvin offered the same thing,"
the moose shifter replied, and his dark eyes darted over to the table.
"But I appreciate the offer being made again. Thank you for allowing me to stay with you, Griff."
"It's no trouble at all," I said.
"The more the merrier,"
Layla called out to us, and we all cracked up at her continued enthusiasm. I looked again to Vala, and was worried to see the russet-haired princess's weary appearance. While everyone around us seemed to be in good spirits, despite the circumstances, the Hawkshifter was anything but. "Hey, Vala, are you all right?" I asked her softly.
"I'm okay,"
she answered, but the shapeshifter's frown said otherwise. "Are you sure?" I pressed my sister-in-law gently. "You seem a little off."
"It just feels insensitive to be eating while the world is in so much disarray,"
Vala answered, and she wrapped her arms around herself.
"Is there nothing we can do right now to get this demon to leave?"
"We're taking steps to make that happen," I explained, though we're kind of at a standstill. Before we go after the demon, we need to make sure our people are going to be taken care of. In fact, tomorrow, I'm leaving to seek reinforcement.
Reinforcements?
Vala frowned, and she tilted her head in a bird-like way.
From there?
Luratamba, I revealed, as well as HawkClan.
You're going to visit my father?
Vala asked in a small voice. The Hawk Princess's face was eager, and the way she tucked her hair behind her ear reminded me of her age. With her mature use of words and her intense gaze, it was easy to forget she was still so young. Yes, I nodded. We're going there to try and convince the clans to join us in Mistral.
May I come with you?
She asked in a hopeful tone. We won't be gone long, I admitted. It should only be for a day or two at most. So I think it would be better for you to stay here. There's a chance Eerie Island is even worse off than we are, and I don't want you to risk getting into an unsafe situation. And besides, if this all goes to plan, your father and the rest of your family would be coming here soon enough. Vala's shoulders slumped a bit. But when Murr put his arm around her, the younger Hawk Princess exchanged a look with him. The pair seemed to have an entire conversation just with their eyes, and when they turned back to me, Vala seemed more satisfied with my answer.
Thank you for looking out for my safety, she said. I appreciate it, Griff.
I'll always look out for you, I promised her.
I will as well,
Murr declared, and then his cheeks reddened slightly.
I mean, I'm not as powerful as Griff, of course, but I am here to watch out for you as well, my Vala.
I like it when you say that,
she murmured in a soft voice, and the hawkshifter tucked a strand of russet hair behind her ear. The pair of shapeshifters were way too cute for words. You're stronger than you give yourself credit for, I pointed out to Murr. You may not be a summoner, but you've come a long way, and you're only going to get more powerful with time. I trust you completely. I hope you'll look out for the rest of my family while I'm gone.
Of course,
Murr nodded, and the moose boy straightened up his posture.
It would be my honor. Besides, they are my friends. I would guard them regardless of this conversation.
Thanks, Murr. I smiled at my friend. I really appreciate it.
So, do you think the clans will agree to come with you?
Vala asked, but then she shook her head vigorously.
No, that was a dumb question to ask. Of course they'll agree. My father would do anything you ask, Griff. Our clan owes you for everything you have done. The least we could do is repay your actions.
I hope they'll be willing to help, I said. I admire your father greatly, and I pray I'm worthy of his trust.
You are,
she assured me.
The other clans might take some further convincing, but in the time you and Freya initially left Eerie Island, the other shapeshifters came together and discussed their issues with one another. In that discussion, the chiefs came to an understanding, and it was all thanks to my father. They will listen to his words. I'm sure of it.
Thanks, Vala. I smiled at the Hawk Princess. I appreciate the vote of confidence. Freya's sister tilted her head to the other side, and I realized the phrase probably didn't translate well. But after a second, she just smiled.
Maybe I will eat,
she decided in a small voice.
Freya's cooking is always wonderful, and all of the smells are making my mouth water.
I think that's a good idea, I agreed, and Murr and I walked her back over to our friends and family. Hey, Freya, could you get a plate for Vala?
It is already done,
my shapeshifter wife smiled, and she gestured at an empty seat.
Sit down, Vala. I'll get you some water.
The younger hawk dutifully sat down, and Murr and I sat on either side of her. My friends, family, and I tucked into the delicious food, and though I was still incredibly nervous about our upcoming mission, it was nice to experience a full belly after such a grueling evening. We parted ways soon after eating, and I took the time before bed to prepare everything I would need for my trek to the southern continent. I made sure my essence crystals were organized in a neat and efficient manner, and then I picked out my sturdiest clothing. Once all of my things were laid out, I went upstairs and retrieved my discarded gas mask from the bathroom floor. I'd been so focused on tearing it off that I hadn't cleaned the toxic particles from the surface, and I didn't want to risk letting any of Azraneath's spores linger, so I scrubbed it until my fingers were practically red. When I returned to my room, I was pleasantly surprised to see all of my lovers had gathered in my bed. Each was clad in similarly crafted nightwear, and I admired the way the silky fabrics clung to their perfect forms. "Wow!" I whistled as I took in the sight. This is certainly the best thing I could have returned to.
"Have you finished your chores?"
Nia asked me as she twirled a lock of silvery blonde hair around her finger.
"Because we're ready to pull you into this bed and never let go."
My eyebrows flew skyward. "Yes, ma'am. Just give me a moment to set this down and I'm all yours."
"Oh, you have no idea."
Erin winked at me, and she crooked her finger toward her.
"Hurry up and get over here."
I did as instructed, and after my mask was set down with the rest of my things, I stripped down and climbed into bed with my women.
"Are you too tired for this?"
Ashla wondered as her fingertips trailed over my arm. "Definitely not," I replied, and I settled into the pile of beautiful women. "I'm feeling more awake than ever."
"Then allow us to wear you out, dear husband."
Freya's gold-flecked brown eyes flickered with mischief. My women spent the next couple of hours showing me just how much they loved me, and I made sure to give each of them all of my love in return. We became a tangled mess of limbs, and I pleasured each of my lovers until I couldn't physically push myself any further. Once we were all thoroughly spent, we climbed under the covers, and my wives and girlfriends fell asleep almost instantly. As they slept soundly, I felt comforted. It was moments like these that made me feel like the luckiest man in Mistral, and motivated me to make this mission successful. The next morning arrived earlier than I wanted, and with how dark it was outside, it was nearly impossible to rouse myself completely. I carefully shifted around my sleeping women, sat up in bed, and rubbed at my eyelids. I'd had a thankfully dreamless sleep, but I was in desperate need of coffee, or at least some water. My throat was as dry as a desert, and my body ached from all of the running and battle against the Shadow Boars. I knew I would be perfectly fine once I hydrated and took one of Arwen's potions, so I carefully slid myself forward until I reached the end of the bed. After I looked over my shoulder to make sure none of my women had awakened, I turned forward again and climbed out of bed. My lovers continued to sleep soundly, and I was able to dress and get myself ready without disturbing their rest. Part of me wanted to wake them up before I left, but we'd already said their goodbyes the night before. It was rare for all of them to have a moment of peace, and I wasn't about to ruin that. So, after I finished fastening my bandolier across my chest, I crossed over to my desk and scrawled a quick note on a piece of parchment. "I didn't want to wake you all, but don't fret. I'll be back before you even have time to miss me. Stay safe. Stay together. I love you with all my heart." After I signed my name, I propped the parchment up against the mirror so my women would be able to find it. And then I took one last look at them. They looked so serene, and all I wanted was to crawl back under the covers and enjoy the warmth of their bodies around me. But I had a duty to fulfill. I'd have all the time in the world to snuggle up and kiss every inch of their lovely bodies once Azraneath met his demise. So I gave them a smile, and then I quietly crossed over to the door. Opening it quietly wasn't an easy task, but I managed to do it without making any real noise, and I slipped out with a grace I didn't even know my body possessed. Once it was closed behind me, I released a sigh and stood out in the hall for a moment.
"Master?"
Zan's voice whispered in my consciousness like an echo.
"What's wrong? Are you all right?"
"As all right as I can be," I admitted to the Arcan, and my eyes trailed upward to the window beyond me. The sky was even darker than it was yesterday, and dread crept in as I stared at the lines of the demon's tentacles.
"Your loved ones will be just fine,"
Zan assured me in a voice that reminded me of the one Freya used when speaking to our daughter, Lara.
"They are strong, Griff, as are you. Remember what was said to your friend last night. You must have hope. Carry it with you to the southern continent, and let it guide your every step. You're a powerful leader. Queen Lisi and the chiefs will be sure to follow you.
I hope you're right, I said, and then I headed down the stairs. It was time to recruit some reinforcements.